We're live at EXT. Rebecca Lobey's here. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
Great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Rebecca, you have this wonderful album, Blink Out.
Thank you.
Tell me about when you first started playing guitar. How old were you?
I was about 11 or 12. And my dad had always played when I was a kid. You know, he had a guitar in the closet that he'd pull out once or twice a month and play songs for my siblings and I. And when I was like 11 or 12, other kids at school started playing and I got interested and started playing in music class at school and started sniffing around the guitar in the closet, which it turns out is actually a really nice old guitar. So my dad immediately took me to the local music store and helped me buy my first guitar, which he paid for half of and I paid for half with my allowance. And it was like a cheap, kind of crummy Fender acoustic guitar. Fender is a very good brand for electric guitars, not very well known for their acoustic guitars, but I felt cool because I had a Fender guitar and my dad taught me a few chords and then had this magical ability to teach me to play any pop song on the radio I wanted using only the chords G, C, and D. Maybe not the most precise musical transcriptions, but it was enough to get me playing and feeling confident and excited about making music and kind of took off from there.
And then how old were you when you went out to play in front of people?
Well, I mean, I was a pretty hammy, precocious teenager, so shortly after I started playing guitar, I realized that I could take the crummy teenage poetry I had been writing and turn it into crummy teenage folk songs. And so I started writing my own tunes probably when I was 13 or 14. And there, when I was in high school, again, my dad took me out to the open mic in Atlanta where I grew up at this place called Eddie's Attic, and they have a kind of legendary Monday night open mic. Gets a lot of touring acts there, you know, because it's a Monday. There's not a lot to do on a Monday, and it's a competition. So if you win, you can make some money. And it's a good mix of locals and national artists. And it was always just so inspiring. And it sort of just lit a fire in my belly songwriting wise. And I would go and I would watch the writers there and I would come home and stay up all night, you know, trying to write better songs. By the time I was done with high school, I had gotten the bug for playing. I'd done a few public concerts in coffee shops and stuff around Atlanta, but I decided that I wanted to do music professionally.
So you decided that even before you went to college?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I looked at music schools, but I wanted to have a backup plan. So I didn't go to a strict conservatory, and I didn't study only performance. I went to a contemporary music school, much more versatile. I went to Berkeley in Boston, and I studied music production and engineering. It helped me out a lot. You know, I got really immersed in the program. I even considered abandoning music and just becoming an audio engineer for a little while. But when I graduated, one of my engineering teachers sort of nudged me back towards music. He said, you know, you could do engineering, but I think you'd be happier doing something more creative. I used my engineering skills, though, well, one, to support myself. When I graduated from college, I worked at a recording studio, and I recorded most of my first record there. And then when it was time to record my second album, and I still didn't have, you know, much of an audience to speak of or anybody really anticipating the record, I worked at a recording studio in Atlanta for a year on and off in between gigs. And I would work as an assistant engineer and clean the microphone closet and drive, you know, out to get lunch for clients and just do whatever odd work was needed around the studio. And we bartered time. And that's how I paid to produce my first real record, Mystery Prize.
Now, how did you, because it was almost not pre-internet, but it was definitely before the internet really helped a lot. Mm-hmm. How did you get people to know who you were and what you were doing?
One at a time.
Literally.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I went on my first tour in 2004, and it doesn't sound like that long ago, but I mean, way back then, I did send out paper press kits in the mail, like in an envelope. And I put a lot of time into the presentation of it. And I mean, I didn't even really have that much press. You know, I remember calling a local newspaper, like an arts paper in Atlanta, and asking them if I could come volunteer in the office for a few hours in exchange for a review for my first album, which they let me do, which in retrospect is maybe not the most ethical, but I did get a little blurb, a little press quote that I was able to use for my first press kit. Venues would call me on the phone to book my early gigs, and that just isn't how it works anymore. It's all email. It's like me tweeting, you know, and texting and emailing, you know, in my car in between drives, you know, trying to move things forward.
We're live at EXT with Rebecca Lobey. Her latest album is called Blink. Why don't we have you play a couple songs? What would you like to play first?
I'm going to play you the first track on my new record, Blink. This is called Lie. So much for good goodbyes, I mumble as you try.
try to paint the door shut on your way. I wonder where time flies. The birds take the months by the wing and show them how to disappear. And if so, why'd they leave me here? If all I have to do is promise not to love you, all I have to do is lie. If all I have to do is promise not to love you, all I have to do is lie. Lie awake and cry. Lie awake and cry.
On the new record Blink, and it's a funny story that I actually wrote that song the same week I wrote this next one, and there were the first two tracks on the album. This is Rebecca Lobey, and you've left regular radio behind. You're listening to Exit 97.7 WEXT. This is about mixtapes and making out in the back of cars. Barefoot, messy bedroom floor handle, sawed up a door, candles burned and records turned. Time was never wasted. Flowers dried on window panes. Hours spent on the mixtape I gave you on our first date when all we did was drive. Listen so closely, every crossfade high holy. We may not always be this fun, we may not always be together, but we will always have forever young, forever. Summer
from every tongue. College came for everyone. Autumn knows the mail moves slow till it doesn't move at all. Still in the top of my dresser. Oh, I kept that one letter. Box store for records they don't make no more. Crossfade to the song I knew. Forever young ago. We may not always be this fun. We may not always be together, but we will always have forever young. We'll always have forever young. We'll always have.
And we're live at EXT with Rebecca Lobey, Forever Young Forever in Live from her new album, Blink. I love these songs on Blink.
Thanks.
Tell me about writing these songs. Did they all come together, or were some of them older songs?
You know, I wrote them all over about a 16-month period, which for me is fairly concise because I'm not the quickest writer. And after my last record, Circus Heart, came out, it took a little while for me to be in the mood to write again. You know, I spent a full year just trying to get that album together and put all my creative energy into making the record, and then put a lot of energy into touring when the record came out. And then I had a little bit of a dry spell. So then next thing you know, it's been 2.5 years and there's no new songs. And, you know, I slowly sort of started writing again. I went to a few retreats and started doing sort of weekly songwriter nights at my house in Austin just to try and kickstart the muse. And songs started pouring out, and I was writing a bunch. And then a few months in, I wrote Forever Young Forever on the way home from a gig. And I realized that is the direction I want to go in. So there were probably half a dozen songs that I had written before that. But I sort of drew a line in the sand at Forever Young Forever and was like, this is the sort of direction I want to go in, style-wise and also just sort of tone-wise, lyrically, you know. And there's a lot of sort of reflection on the album. And I wrote Blink a few days later, and then the floodgates sort of opened up, and I was sort of writing in this vein for the next year or so.
We're live at EXT. Rebecca Lobey's here. Her album is called Blink. I know it's been a few years, but do you think the voice helped?
I do. I was a season one contestant. I was on the first episode of the first season, put that show on the map.
And then I stopped watching when they took you off. So,
just so you know. And my mom. Well, if anybody out there is listening and watched season one, episode one of The Voice and remembers the poor little matchstick girl living in her car, that was me. I sang a sort of jazzy rendition of Come As You Are by Nirvana. And, you know, believe it or not, it's been 7 years. So I was on season one 7 years ago. Even now, 7 years later, there are still people, not like a deluge of people, but a stream of people every few months, sometimes a few in a few weeks, who come up to me who say that they have been following my career since I was on the show and are just now getting out to see me play live for the first time. Just as a nice reminder that I'm still sort of gaining audience from the experience. So yeah, I mean, it helped. Like, I went from 700 Twitter followers to 7,000, and I sold a bunch of my own album, you know, that summer. I sold a ton of the download of Come As You Are. The most helpful thing I got from it, aside from, you know, social media metrics and getting a manager and an agent and all this like tangible industry stuff, is actually that it was such a intimidating and stressful, terrifying experience that it really made me appreciate and realize what a loving environment a concert is. You know, when I play a concert, there might have been a time in my life where I would have been afraid getting up on stage, like afraid, intimidated by the audience, or afraid that I might embarrass myself or mess up the words or trip on my way up the steps. You know, all of these very human things that we are nervous about when we put ourselves in front of other people. But when I did The Voice, it was such an obviously judgment-oriented situation. Like, I was there to be judged. I put myself on the gauntlet to be judged by the audience in the arena, by the executive producers, by the TV cameras, by the international viewing audience, and by the paid celebrity judges who were sitting in judgment to evaluate my performance and decide if I was worthy of their time and their affection. And that experience was so nerve-wracking. Like, it was a physical fear that I had not experienced before. Like, I jumped out of an airplane for my 19th birthday, and somehow that was scarier. I'm not kidding. It was bizarre how scary it was, when the only real consequence was a little disappointment and embarrassment. But that's not a little thing. You know, we're delicate creatures. Since doing The Voice and experiencing real judgment, I have been left just feeling like every concert I get to play is such a joy, such a blessing. And I realize that the audience and I are on the same team. You know, we've all left our comfortable homes where we have the internet and the ability to watch all created entertainment that mankind has ever made is like in a box in your home, and you could sit on your couch and watch it. But instead, there are these magical people who agree with me that music is better experienced face to face in a room acoustically on the same wavelength. And we're all there, like, playing a role in it together, you know, just to share like joy and creativity and love and compassion and connection. And there's nothing scary about that. Even if I mess up the words, or even if I fall and trip on stage, you know, like, none of that matters because we're all on the same team. And so that is really how The Voice helped.
Now, all these years later, you're also not only doing your own stuff, but you've got other projects going on, including one now with some friends of yours in Austin.
Yes, absolutely. This has been a really amazing and very fun development. Last summer, invited my friends Betty Sue and Grace Pettis to arrange a package tour together. And to be honest, it started as just like a business proposition, like, hey, we've all been at this for about a decade. Let's see what happens when we put our heads together and try go on tour together. Maybe we can play bigger venues. Maybe we can sell more tickets. And we got our booking agents on it, and we started booking this tour. And the reaction to the tour was very positive. You know, a lot of the venues that we played, like, jumped at the opportunity to have us all three at the same time. They wanted videos to use to promote the shows. So we had some friends come over with iPhones, and we shot videos of us doing a couple of songs. And we did a video of the Tracy Chapman song, Fast Car, that moved across the internet fairly quickly. You know, we didn't promote it at all, and it got hundreds and hundreds of shares and thousands of views in like a few hours. And a record label outside of Austin saw the video and invited us out to their studio to do a writing retreat. And we went out and wrote some songs together just to see how it felt. And we wrote some tunes, and they played them for the label, and they really liked them and offered us a record deal. And I mean, all of this has happened since like October, including signing the record deal and recording our debut album, which we will have at tour dates throughout the spring, and it'll be officially released in the fall.
What will you three be calling yourselves?
Ah, yes. The trio is called Nobody's Girl. And so you can find us at nobodysgirlmusic.com. The tour is called The Sirens of South Austin.
We're live at EXT with Rebecca Lobey. Her album is called Blink. Rebecca, what would you like to play as your final song here today?
I'm gonna play you guys a song called Cannonball.
Nice.
I paint a face on top of my face before you go out. Toe off the edge, heel off the ledge, follow me down. I'll take your name, I'll share the blame, I'll curl into the fall, cannonball. I pull my knees up to my chin and I'll give it a go. You mow the yard, I wash the car, it's all for show. Beneath the hood, nothing is good as we thought it would be. The damage done is hidden from each other. I'm ball. I put my lips on top of your lips every night. Tell me that this is as good as it gets. It doesn't seem right. Summertime games with the neighborhood gangs, so sure of themselves. But scared to death, you held your breath and closed your eyes. That's all, Cannonball.
I'm Rebecca Lobey. This is 97.7 EXT. Support the music at exit977.org.